Yeah.
And they have a microphone.
I'll try and use my voice skills. Okay, so we are going to introduce, before we introduce a new topic, we'll just say one last case of what the general type of topic we've been discussing up to now, about when there's no set price when the job is being performed. Okay, so let's start with our first case. Yankel had seen Levi perform as a magician before he had become a Baal Teshuva, and he was very impressed how he managed to manipulate his audience. So when Levi was deciding to make a startup company, he thought the perfect person to take his product and make it market his product to the public would be Levi, who he had known before as a person who can manipulate people very well. So the deal that he entered into was, since we're a startup company, obviously we're not going to promise you any salary. What we're going to do is, I'm going to bring the money, you're going to market the product, and we'll be 50-50 partners. Partnership. The agreement was never actually formalized in any type of written agreement. It was never formalized in any contract. Levi worked well, he marketed the product took off, and it was just about to go, as the expression they used, the viral, when Levi approached him and said, let's formalize our agreement in writing. And Yankel then said, I have second thoughts. Up to now you did produce good work. You know what, I'm just going to pay you for the work which you provided according to the going rate for such work. Obviously, Levi wasn't happy with this. He was expecting being a partner, 50% partnership in a potential multi-million business. For everyone's knowledge, the business at its present status is a multi-million business. So they went to a dintera, and the discussion was, how much or what obligation does Yankel has to Levi to produce and fulfill his words. So let's renew the facts. Yankel liked Levi's ability to manipulate people. So he decided, when he had made a startup company, that he wanted Levi to be the one to market the product. The deal was that you can be a partner 50-50 if you market the product, but it was never actually formalized in writing. The product was marketed very well. Just before it was viral, Levi wanted to make it formalized in writing. Yankel changed his mind and said, you know what, I don't want you to be a partner, I'm just going to pay you for the work provided instead. Levi, obviously, wasn't happy with that. He wanted to be a partner, and therefore they went to Beistin, and the discussion was, is he mechuyev to give him 50% of the partnership, or is he entitled, since we actually never formalized it in writing, I can just pay you for the going rate for being a somebody who markets products. In such a case. Now.
So a Beis Din, what did he say to Beis Din? Did he say to Beis Din, yes, this was the agreement?
This was the agreement. But I changed my mind, and I feel that I can change my mind since It was never actually formalized in writing. He never made the partnership agreement.
He did all the work.
There was a whole discussion whether he did the work or was it good work, but let's say that it was accepted that he did the good work.
Okay, because in second law, you can have verbal agreement and, this, and it would be binding.
Now, it's not so true. If you ask an American lawyer, it depends what type of partnership that you're setting up. Is it going to be a partnership that's going to last more than 1 year? Then it has to be formalized in writing. That's one of the rules they have in American law. Any partnership that's going to last more than 1 year has to be formalized in writing. That's one rule. Another rule is anything to do, then it's not a partnership. That's American law. So, I'll just repeat what we the case before we start. Is that, I'll change his name so it's easier to talk about. Reuven and Shimon. Reuven wanted Shimon to market his product for him. He's making a startup company. He promised Shimon, I'm not going to give you salary, I haven't got the money because it's a startup. I'm going to give you 50% of the business if you market it. He marketed the goods. It was about to go viral. Then he wanted to be formalized in writing. Reuven turned around to him and said, I've changed my mind. Yeah, we've never formalized it up to now. I've changed my mind. I just want to pay for your marketing services instead of being a partner in my company. So, has he got a right to do such a thing?
He may have a chiv to do such a thing.
Has he got a chiv to...
No,
to give over
he may have a chiv to break the agreement because there may be a rivus issue with the rabbon.
Okay, what's the rivus issue?
Because when you have sweat equity partnership, it's not so poshut that it is a takanas chachamim, you have to be 50% invested.
Both of them were working. Both of them were working.
Right, but only one put in the money.
One put in the money and both working. So it's a makalikus for Shonim.
Oh yeah? Yeah. Okay.
And that's actually yes, about rivers issues. But is he mechuyev to give him the partnership? That was the question. American law, which is one of this firm was an American based firm, says that any partnership which lasts more than a year has to be formalized in writing.
Really?
Any partnership which is supposed to last more than a year.
You sure about that?
Any partnership which is supposed to last more than a year has to be formalized in writing. Another rule is if it's anything to do with it's not in the game in this case, but anything to do with land has to be also formalized in writing.
That's called parole evidence rule. Such a thing by partnership.
Okay. So what does everyone think?
Before they made an agreement, I mean, obviously there's an issue here, but before they made an agreement, so you should be
made a verbal agreement.
Right.
So I would say the same thing. Made a verbal agreement, not as strong as a written agreement, but both sides admit they had an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And so like,
force it or give them a mishapara. I don't know.
It's not Mishapara, they already entered in, they already started the transaction. It's worse than Mishapara.
Yeah, I'm saying.
You know, just like when you buy something, you do, I don't know if they did a kidney, right? But they may have done a kidney. You know, they do a transaction. Everything you don't do a transaction, you don't always get a written agreement.
Yeah, so where's the transaction over here? Any kinyonim taking place? No kinyonim.
It's working.
Working, yes.
Nothing was done.
You already provided something.
He provided something, yes. He's saying, okay, I will pay for the value of that work on the market.
Look, once you provided something, that already starts the transaction. Maybe I can do it, I don't know.
Okay. Alright, so let's look at first Maramokan. Balabais, Sisokopo. He's hired him, a worker, and he said to him, you know what, you're going to work for me, and your wage will be a particular object as your wage. He can give you afterwards, instead, money. Doesn't have to give the object which he promised as payment for the job.
How much money?
So since he didn't actually do a kinyan on the object which was promised to him, therefore no kona. Therefore he had no rights to acquire it.
No, he
didn't
rent the object, but he had rented the value of the object.
It doesn't say how much you pay. It says you can give him money.
Yeah,
why can you give him money? Because the object which was promised in exchange for the work provided, that I'm not obligated, because you never actually did any type of transaction on that object.
Dhamma doesn't mean the worth of the object.
Now we have to understand why would it be the worth of the object that you're required to give? What's the logic
behind
it?
That's what I'm wondering. Because if it was,
what's the logic? Now you have to think. If you're saying I promise an object, a table, that has your payment, I'm not required to give you the table even after you do the job. Why? Because you never actually did a kinyan on the table, right? Money, I'm supposed to. I can give you money. How much money then?
How can I do a kinyan on a table which is not mine?
You
have to work for it, and then I get it.
You lift it up.
Do a kinyan.
No, I said, we're talking about specific cases. I've got a nice table over there in my house. I want you to do my garden nicely and everything, and in a payment, I'm going to give you that table. Yeah? So, in theory, you could do a kinyan on the table. Yeah. You don't do a kinyan on the table. Yeah? Here also, in our case, I've got a company. I already own 100% of the shares. I say to you, I want you to market the product and I'll give you 50% of the shares in the company. You could, in theory, transfer the shares already at that stage with some sort of contract or agreement. You didn't. It just was a verbal suggestion that when you do the work, I'll give you the 50% of the shares. You did the work, and now I'm saying I don't want to give you the 50% of the shares. And I don't have to, because you never actually did a kinyan in those shares or in the company.
Wait a minute. Now you're changing the transaction. You're talking about the stock in the company. It doesn't have the same American law rule that you said before.
Mm-hmm.
You're changing the situation. You're talking about stock in the company. No,
stock is one way of getting ownership on the company.
No, but stock, that law you said before wouldn't apply about the ownership lasting more than a year. Here we're talking about an intangible asset. A verbal agreement will hold true.
Yes, but not so a partnership more than that is going to last. If he promised stock,
no,
you're right.
Stock is not a
he
partner.
Didn't promise stock.
Yeah,
he said you're going to be a partner in 50% of the company.
How do you know there's stock in the business? How do you know there is stock in the business? Meaning, he's a one person, sole person. He didn't have to have a corporation, a stock with stock. He may not have stock himself. So you can't.
No, he did have. This was a company which he set up. He set up the company. It was a registered company in America, and he set it up.
But why does he have to, in the Shulchan Aruch case, why does he have to give him the worth of the object? Does he just have to give him the worth?
Who says you have to give the worth?
Dhamma means it's worth.
It's worth or money?
The love at the end means it's worth.
Okay. Right. So now, tell me, before we see that inside, what's the logic of giving its worth? Rather than just the worth of the job which you did.
Well, if the rocky were $10,000, then you give him $10,000, even if the job is worth $2,000 or $8,000.
Because everyone's saying good.
But if it's because he agreed, you have to give him what he agreed.
Because
to
it's not so posh, but everyone's saying good. You're saying when I promise the object, inclusive in that promise is the value of the object.
But why is the value any more entitlement than the object itself?
No, because then it's like saying to, now everyone agrees, if I say, please do this work and I'll give you $100 for the work, then once you've done the job, you're more able to give $100.
Why?
Yes? Yes?
Why?
Because that's the value of the services which you provided.
Well, it's not. Everybody else will charge me $90.
Not in the startup company. Yes?
Let's say everybody else would charge me $90. You knew that and I knew that, and we said...
Okay,
it's
so that's a different child altogether. That's a different question.
That's not the case then.
That's not the case.
Okay.
Everyone in a startup company is understood that paying with the work provided with the partnership is a normal way of doing business. Yeah, as opposed to you haven't got funds to support a
right, but there is a going rate.
It's a going rate for the service when it's not a startup company. So, as long as it's within the realms the money being promised is in the realms of what is normal and natural to provide for the job, then with what we're saying over here is that when you promise the person, I'll give you 50% of the company, he's not only saying, that's my duty just to give 50%, he's, I give you 50% of the value of the company. That's what's inclusive in his words. That's a hinge, but that's what it seems to be from the Shulchan Aruch.
So you're saying Dom Avir is Lav Davka?
Dom Avir means...
But let's say I say, I agree, I want you to mow my lawn for one time, and in return I'll give you a Rolls Royce. And then I say, you know what, forget it, I'll give you $10 instead.
Yes, it's not normal, Rolls Royce.
Correct, it's not normal. So that's a whole different... So not to give the value of the Rolls Royce.
No, that should be a whole different... That's a whole different side.
Okay.
Yes, outside that, on along that line. So the Nesiva says, number two, im hivtiach litin lo chefetz v'schara. If you promise to give somebody an object in exchange for their doing a job, like in this case we had, somebody said, I start a company, you do the work, I'll give you 50% of the business. The afbish lo kono, even though he hasn't actually got any acquisition in the business yet, and you don't have to give him a partnership in the business because he never did actually a transaction in it. Nevertheless, you have to give the amount of money to the value of half the percent, the 50% of the business, because that's what you promised. So therefore, we're saying that even though you're not obligated to actually give him 50% in the business, but you are obligated in giving him the value of 50% in the business, because that's inclusive in your promise which you gave him.
So go back to the rock and this attached together. Okay, so when you entered the agreement, originally the rocket was $10,000. He does the work for you, a year later, the rock is now worth $20,000. So do you have to give him the value of the 10,000?
Very good. That's the next question we're asking. Okay. You promise 50% of the business. We say you don't have to give him 50% of the business, but only 50% of the value of the business. How do you value the 50% of the business? At what stage? What do you look at the value of the business that you promise? At the time of the agreement, the time you finish the work, or the time of the din Torah, or the potential value in 5 years' time? What do you look at the value of the business of 50% which you have to give him? How do you look at it?
Probably the value at the time of the agreement.
That's
how
it was
a
zero business.
It was
worth nothing at the time of the
agreement. At the time of the agreement, it's a
startup company. It wasn't worth nothing.
It was a startup company with an idea, and the whole business was an idea.
Yeah,
I thought would work. Most startups, what's the percentage of startups working?
10 or something.
Yeah, that's your job. Yeah, 1 in 10. Yeah, so the value of this business at the time of the agreement would be considerably lower than the value of the business at a later stage. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Considerably. So, you're suggesting that the duty is...
Well, it depends. If at a later stage they lose money in the end, then it's probably considerably higher at the start of stage.
So, but you're still saying that the 50% you have to give is the 50% of the value at the time of the agreement.
That's what he agreed.
But why would if there's no money in his company at the beginning, there's no money to pay his salary. There probably was no money at a startup.
Yes.
So why would somebody agree that I'll accept the value of a startup at the beginning when the value is zero?
Okay, you said he agreed. He agreed on getting 50% of the business. The agreement was, I'll market your product, I'll be a 50% partnership, and that's what I bought. The halacha says, since you didn't actually formalize that in writing, you don't have to give him 50% of the business, but you have to give him the value of 50% of the business. Now we're discussing, what is the value of 50% of the business? Of course, when you made the agreement, you had no concept that, of course, that it's going to be money even. You thought you were going to have 50% of a potential $1 million business. Which actually is a $1 million business.
It's the same, because he's not hiring him to do a job and then walk away. He's hiring him to be his partner.
Yes.
And he's essentially giving him
50% of the business. So even if you say that he has the option to give money to the business, he still has to give it to him at the... He's supposed to treat him as a partner, not as a kablan, so to speak. So there's no reason to pay him the value of the business at the start when it was worth nothing anyway, and he would never have agreed to such a thing.
So if it's
he
not
agreed
the start,
to be a partner in the business. Yes, so at the very least at the breakup stage, that's when the business should be evaluated. And at that stage, you should pay him the fair value for his share.
Okay. So, number three, which I don't think you have on the paper for some reason. So the Maharil Diskin says like this, it's a one line Maharil Diskin. Maharil Diskin was the Av Beis Din in Brisk before the Brisker dynasty started. And he says like this. The end of the day, the reason why you have to pay him is because he's not a partner. Because you never formalized it. Why do you have to pay him? Because he did a job for you. He did a job, and you promise in exchange for the job a payment. What payment? 50% of the value of the business. That's what your word said. When is the duty to pay a worker? At the beginning of the job or after the job? After the job. So since the tachiyuv to pay the worker is when the job is finished, therefore we look at the value of what you promised at the end of the job. And therefore the end of the job, we then estimate the value of 50% of the business at that stage. So you won't get peanuts, meaning at the time of the agreement it was hardly worth anything because it was a startup company. But you will definitely won't get what he was imagining being a partner in a $1 million business, because he was already left at that stage. He will get at the stage of where he was no longer working for him the value of 50% of the business at that stage. So we'll have to bring in somebody to estimate the business at what value it was on the market at that stage. At the stage of when he left. Yes.
What's the heaven that you can go further?
There's even time is that I was imagining to be a 50% partner for this work in a $1 million business.
But the business doesn't exist until you create the.
And I did the work, and just before it went viral, you got rid of me. And now it's a $1 million business. Now in Dintar, a year later, you're Tucker, it's a $1 million business. So we got the based in your $1 million business. So we got, at the time you the start of the agreement, it was $100 business, and now, yeah, and we got at the end of your job, it wasn't $1 million business at that stage, but it was something, a potential, already was worth something. So in this case, he was entitled to $100,000 for his particular work he provided.
Let's say instead of providing a service, I would have put in money.
It would be different. When we talk about going to halakhas of partners, partnerships, we'll discuss how halakhically you can create a partnership. Money would be different. If both sides put money in, it may have created an actual partnership at that stage.
But without doing a kinyan.
Even without doing a kinyan. Depends on what the
so
money is used
for. There's a halakhic thing called the shustas.
Yes.
That creates an obligation.
How do you create a halakhic partnership? There's different ways of doing that.
So you can create a situation where the other party can't back out.
Yes, you can create a situation where the person is obligated to give him legally 50% of the business. But this wasn't the case over here, because nothing over here was validated to the partnership.
Now, if American law had said this is a partnership, would that be factored?
It would have been a factor if American law would have said it was a partnership, because this is American business. And Dina Machusu Dina would have taken effect. But in this case, there was a big dispute between all the American lawyers on either side of the Din Torah, whether there was a partnership that could have been created verbally under American law in this type of deal. And since it was disputes, therefore there was no Dina Machusu Dina. Dina Machusu Dina only applies when everything is absolutely clear. 100%.
Even if it's contradictory to din Torah?
We'll discuss when din machlokes din has the power. It can't override din Torah, if that's what you mean. But it can enhance din Torah, which means if there's no halachic kinyan, but there is something called a din machlokes din, which creates a kinyan.
Nothing to do with minhag avodah.
Minhag avodah, it could work in such a case.
It could be implying the partnership as well. Where he said to him, okay, you can take out 25,000 an hour because we've created so much in the partnership.
Yeah, according to American law, in this case, there was no clear, decisive opinion over it. And the bottom line was, it depended what judge you would end up in front of, whether this would have been considered a partnership or not, which means there's no dinner for this. Which means there's no dinner for such a case.
Every time you go in front of the judge, you're flipping a coin. You can't go by what happens in front of the judge.
If there's a clear law, we don't take into consideration interpretations of judges. If it's not, and then the judge interprets it, we're not interested in his interpretation either. Okay, so let's move on to our next case. Reuven had agreed a detailed contract with his builder. He was renovating his garden, making a very nice garden, and the contract was a very clear contract, very well written contract. The Kavlan provided the work, and he was paid for it, as according to the contract. Then the builder came and said, you know what? I did a few extras over and above what the contract stated, and I really want to be compensated for that. Firstly,
was there a plan? Was there a drawing to show
yes,
what you had to do?
Yes, yes, everything was clear. Firstly, instead of using cheap electrical type of sockets, I got the expensive German type. I want to be compensated on the higher type of quality which I put in. No, it wasn't requested. I provided work more than was requested. But as we've learned throughout these weeks, if I provide work without being asked, I can still ask for the money. Yes?
I can provide a socket that's a simple plastic socket, and I provided a service. You get paid for your service. You know?
That's $20.
You put a gold socket there.
Yes.
I can ask for a gold plate.
Okay, you didn't ask, but now you've got it.
Take it.
If you say take it out, okay. If I don't want you to take it out, we'll get it. Now, so I provided that. Firstly, that's the first type. Second type, you know what? You asked me to do a slope from one part of the garden to the other, because it was on a hill. I decided instead to give you steps. Much more expensive, much more intense labor, much more materials. I want you to compensate me for that increase. Thirdly, you never asked me at all for any type of bars around the garden. I actually had some extra spare. I thought it would be dangerous to leave this area open at this stage, and I put up some bars, sirugim, and therefore I would like you to compensate me for this. So that's the three types of extras here applied, he supplied over and above the contract. Better quality sockets, stairs instead of a slope, and sirugim where it was never asked.
This was an actual incident.
Yes.
I'm just mystified by the chutzpah, whatever the halach is.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
I know.
It's a lot of money. He wanted extra. Yeah. So the shaila was, now, we've learnt up to now the principles that don't ask me for work, I provide you the work, and you take the work, you pay. So what's going to be over here?
Yeah, a very clear contract.
Very clear contract.
What he wanted and what he didn't want.
Yes.
And therefore the covenant's required to provide something according to those standards, whether he likes it or not.
Yes.
And if he provides something different to those standards, it's a chesaron, it's not an advantage, even if it costs more. So that's what was asked for. That's what was specified. Irrespective of whether you agree with the specification or not, the specification sets out a standard.
Yes.
As soon as you do something different from the standard, even if it's better, it's still worse.
So you're telling me to get rid of it and replace it with the ones which
choice. Either you put it back in whatever.
The din Torah was is that the person says, I want all these objects. I don't want him to take them and replace them, but I don't want to pay for them.
Oh really?
So that's the
classic
case.
What's the benefit for you?
Yes. Yes.
So wouldn't that be the lowest, classic soccer versus a gold socket? It does the same. It is by the function.
No, the quality has gone up. It's German quality. It's going to last longer. It's not just not gold and plastic. It's much better quality. It's much safer, much longer.
He wants to be able to plug in his.
No, now that you've done it, I'm happy with it, but I don't feel I should have to pay because it's not part of the agreement.
If you don't want to give it back, then you pay for it.
So everyone is in agreement over here. I'm very happy. You're not in agreement?
No, I said if he does something different to the specification, then he's
even if he wants to keep it, yes?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, so let's look at number 4.
Which number?
Number 4. It's the Gemara and Bobam Siyah Daf Ayin Bobam is Aleph, and it says like this. Omele Balabais. Somebody, Reuben, says, to Shimon, I want you to be my representative. Zil, Ogeli Poem, go and hire for me workers on my behalf. But also you, and the representative went, Itzihu, and he tricked the workers. Hey, Tommy, how did he trick them? The Omele Balabais Batalsi, he said to the workers that you're going to get paid $3 an hour. But also, you Omele Ba'aba. The Balabais said, I'm going to pay you $3. And I want workers for $3. Sorry, the Balabais said, I want workers for $3. And he, the representative, said to the workers, you're going to be hired for $4 an hour instead. So they workers Tina came back. Since you said you're going to give us $4, your representative told us you're going to get $4 for it. Tachina, we did good work. Well, didn't they? Avida Shapiro, so we did high quality work on the basis of four. So, what's the halacha? Lixi advertise. Let's go and check whether the work is higher quality work than $3 an hour. There's $3 an hour quality work, and there's $4 an hour quality work. Let's go and check, is it $4 an hour quality work or not? So we say, Berifka. So he said, no, they're talking about digging a ditch, and it's hard to tell. Well, Rifka Nami Mutazah, why not? Go and check the ditch, see if the ditch is $4 an hour ditch or $3 an hour ditch. No, the Mole Maya is full of water below your and you won't be able to tell the quality at all. And since that's the din, therefore we can't tell what the quality is, therefore you only have to pay $3 and not $4. Because there's no agreement over here. Because me, the owner, I only agreed to $3. You had somebody tricked you into thinking $4. So it's like that the work was done without an agreement. And since the work was done without an agreement, and the standard work for money for this work usually is $3, unless you claim it's better quality, and you can't prove it's better quality, so therefore it remains at $3
an hour. There's 20 workers there. And you made the rib with one of the workers.
Yes, everyone agrees you were tricked. Everybody agrees you were tricked.
Oh.
But tricked doesn't mean that I'm obligated because he tricked you to pay $4.
But he's a chef, no?
But you're saying you should pay me $4 because I gave you quality work of $4. You can't prove it, so I only have to give you $3.
He's my shliach or not?
He's my shliach, but not for tricking. You told him $3 and he went to pay $4.
There's no rules of agency in halacha. is the shliach mechuyev to pay the extra dollar?
No, because he said the money is going to get paid by the owner.
But he was goring.
It's called mazik. It's called indirect damage or tanumus. We're talking about. Yeah.
So that you can't be done the best.
So that's the Gemara. Says the Ritva number 5, which the Beis Yosef brings down. Says cost the Talmid the Rashba. Sorry, the Rashba. The Talmidim of the Rashba writes, this is only when it's the agent who's hiring the workers. But Shimsokon Begimun, but if the Valabais himself hired them for $3, Unami Vistamo, he just said, go and work for me, Va'obidavi and Shapira, and they did do good work of $4 an hour work. The Shavi Abba, ain't no slow gimel, you still only give 3. I said 3, and you did $4 an hour work, you still only get 3. Why? We know you did good quality work here. Why do you only get 3? Because we say that that's included in the $3. Why? What's the logic behind it? What's the logic? Says the Rashba that this Gemara that implies that if you did $4 and now you actually play $4, that's only true if there's an agent involved. But if you clearly make a contract and everyone understands the contract as being this work I want for $3 and you go ahead and make the same work but quality of $4, then you only have to pay 3. What's the logic behind such a halacha? It's along your lines, but what's
in this case the Kabbalah wanted to do a good job.
Very good. The Ritva, we'll look at number 6, exactly what Sharon says. Let a man deposit dollars and a badai. No one charges $4 for this work. It's a $3 work. You did $4 quality. A badai kedei lemotzachem beinei balabais. Why did you give $4 quality work even though you were promised 3? Because you wanted to find favor in the eyes of the balabais. Kedei shiyimtza mishusochem b'choyom, because then your name will get good name. You will be hired out by everybody and you have better, more jobs available for you.
They still provide value.
So what's the logic behind it? The logic behind it is that I am clearly saying to you that I'm giving the extra dollar for free.
Who's clearly?
The workers. The Rishonim are saying is that when there's a clear agreement that this work should be for $3 and you provide the same work but better quality for $4, we understand that as being that the worker has basically said, yes, I'm charging you $3 and giving you an extra dollar for free. Why would I give you an extra dollar for free? Because I want my name to have a good name amongst everybody else.
So the same answer can be said when he went in his house, he painted his house. He can say, well, you did it to show it.
No. This is only true when it's very clear, when there's a clear agreement. We sat down.
$3.
This is the exact work which I want. $3. And he said, yes, $3 for this work. And you went ahead and gave the work and gave it for $4. So then it's clear to everybody that you gave it as a present.
If you're changing it, you'll give it like before, it was without an agreement.
Yes.
So where it's without an agreement,
then you have to pay $4.
But by the case with the Kavlan, it's not the same work. I'm giving you things that we didn't.
So now we have to discuss all 3 jobs he provided extra. Whether it's the same or it's not the same. Is it included? Let's look at the sockets. He said, look, the says clearly in the agreement, I provide you sockets. I upgraded the quality of the sockets and gave you German sockets instead. Is that clearly just the same job, just with an upgrade, quality-wise? Yes?
It's like if I agreed to sell you a Chevrolet and I deliver you a Lexus. No comparison.
There is.
It's a different thing.
No, it's a bad example. It's not comparison. I want a place on the wall which provides me electricity in order for me to use. Yeah, that's my main job. As long as it provides electricity, fine. You, instead of following agreements, gave me something which maybe lasts 2 years. You gave me something which now lasts 5 years. Okay, you gave me the same what I wanted, but just better quality. It's not the same as a two-seater car, and a four-seater car, and the Jaguar, and the thing. Because there, you're giving him something which does a different job. Here, it's doing the same job, the same place, just better quality. However, the sockets, for sure, are included in the original price.
Okay,
the railings, never ask the railings. And you gave me railings. That's never in the agreement at all. For sure you can charge for the railings. Because there's no railings in the agreement at all. It's not that I wanted a certain type of railings and you gave me a better quality of railings and you said this is the price and you gave me better quality. No, there was no railings at all in the agreement. So it's clear that you get compensated for the railings. It's clear you don't get compensated for the sockets. Now the big shaila is what? How do you look at the steps instead of the slope? How do you look at the steps instead of the slope? No, the steps were very useful. It made the area bigger. Slope would have taken away from the area. So how do you look at the steps? Is the steps comparable to the socket upgrade, or is it comparable to the railings?
So it's subjective, and you'd have to prove that you really want it one way or the other. There's somebody in the family in a wheelchair, then it's obvious that he doesn't want the steps.
Yeah, that's he wants
steps. I mean, that's
we're saying here that the guy wants
it. Yeah, he wants the steps. He wants the steps.
He's saying leave the steps.
Yes, leave the steps. But is the original agreement of I want the slope inclusive of steps? How do you look at the steps?
Look at the show.
There's a difference in this case. Because here, the Baal Bais isn't saying, I wanted what the work that you gave me. Could it be
he does. I mean, the Rashba and the Ritva are talking about where he gave you $4 work, and you can keep the $4 work, and only pay $3.
He could say, I didn't need the $4 work.
He said, I'm happy to keep it. So the only reason why you don't have to pay, says the Ritva, is because you gave it as a present.
Yeah.
What question would you ask in order to that would now define whether this stairs is comparable to the sockets or is comparable to the railings? What type of question would you ask?
What did it add? So we have to ask you now that you're keeping the stairs because
you prefer the stairs than the slope. Why are you preference? Why do the stairs seem in preference to the slope? Is it providing an extra service which you didn't have before with the slope? Or is it just giving you better quality of endurance, it's going to last longer, or just maybe just looks nicer, the actual use is the same?
It's very hard to understand what you want to do.
What do you mean? The use is the same planting, it's more planting, but it's the same planting.
No, because it could be that he says, you know why I want to keep the stairs? Because the slope would have taken too much away from the garden. Right. Now I've got the stairs. The stairs doesn't take so much away from the garden. I have more use of the garden. So I actually want the stairs because it's giving me more use, which is something I could not have had with a slope. It's not just an improvement quality-wise, is actually you're giving me something extra which I couldn't have had. We have to ask questions to define whether the reason why you're keeping the stairs is because of improvement in quality, or the reason why you're keeping the stairs is because now you've got something which you didn't, couldn't have had before.
So is Tully and the Das like the one that got the stairs?
We'll have to... Yeah.
You make your own mind though, you can see it. The slope goes all the way into the garden to get that, that
gradient. We'll visit the site and we'll see. Yeah. Look. The slope would have taken 5 meters away from the garden. The stairs would take 2. Is this 3 meters? Looks very useful. You like this 3 meters? Yes, I do like this 3 meters. Yeah. So then we would understand.
Why can't you just take the Rivka's far and say that story of also is looking out from the one?
Because at the present is only we only assume. It's a present when we got clear cut that it was definitely given for free. Why? Because we agreed you do the job for this price, you provide the same job, just more quality. So we say that the quality is for free. But if you provide a job which wasn't asked for, then we say maybe the reason why you did it is because you wanted money, not because you wanted to get a good name and that. Only if it's clear that you sign on this work for this amount of money and you provide the work with just more quality. So then we know that why did you sign on this work for $3? You're saying I'm giving this work for $3 and you gave poor quality work, so then we know it's a present. But if you work with nothing in agreements at all and just provides him this extra, that extra,
he
that
wants
extra,
it.
Which wasn't part of the agreement. Yeah. Well, I provide the extra, then it's like planting somebody's
place. Let's say he says, I only want it if it's not going to cost me money.
He wants to get it for free, for sure he wants to get it for free.
Right, so no, now let's say he basically says, no, you have to pay for it. So can he say, I don't want to pay for it, take it out?
Yeah, he can, yeah. In such a case. If he wants to have the mess in the garden. Yeah.
Because
someone
can take it out.
Maybe it will
come. Okay. So.
You can't leave a mess in the garden.
No.
For him to provide a.
Yes. He has to remove.
Just remove it. The agrees.
Yeah.
Would you look at the history of the Kablan? Like certain Kablanim, you know, they're not interested in impressing the Balabas. They just want to take the money and fly to Italy and never hear from them again.
We don't look into the history of the
thing.
Now, let's start this case, next case. You can think about it during the coming week. We're going to just start it. This is a Shiloh which asked for Moshe Feinstein. This Shiloh. It's going on to a slightly different topic, and the topic is when you have been charged more over and above the going rate of the market for the service, do you have to pay for it? When do you have to pay for it? Somebody provides you a service and you find out afterwards he's overcharged you. Under what circumstances, when do you have to pay, when don't you have to pay?
Yeah.
So this guy was asked for Moshe Feinstein. There was a person, Shimon, let's call him. Shimon was visiting a city and he died. The local Chevra Kedisha performed Tahara and buried him in the city, even though he was a stranger to the city. Then they sent their bill to the relatives. And part of the jobs, which I find, was Tahara of the mace. And that, they clearly even wrote in the bill, that we're going to charge you, since you're out of towners, we're going to charge you double the rate of what we normally charge you for Tahara. Because that's our policy. If you're in town, it's one price. If you're out of town, people, then it's double the rate. So, the question came to Rav Moshe Feinstein, said, are we mechuyev to pay double the rate of such a tahara? Yeah, it's not the going rate. The going rate is what they charge for people in town. Can they make such a policy up? That somebody from out of town, we're going to suddenly charge you double. It's a problem of overpaying for Shabbat services.
Well, you better look at it two ways. You say they're charging downtown people double, and they're charging in-town people half.
It's double.
No, but it's like we're giving you a discount because you're a part of our city.
No, every city roundabout charges this amount, and if you're constantly out of towners, now it's double. It's not the price of the. It's not like we're giving a discount for everyone in town. Everyone in town is the going rate. Because you're out of town, which hardly ever happens, we're going to charge you double.
I thought I'd put a warning sign up. Anybody who dies in this town.
Because I understand you agreed to pay double.
Yes. Like they put up in the shul, it says if you leave your swarm here for 30 days, yeah. Doesn't work by bodies.
Why is the family supposed to pay it off?
It's a debt which they're mechuyev to pay out of the, any inheritance which they receive.
Oh, out of the inheritance.
Yeah.
It's a dip. I mean, what's a dipping? A dipping doesn't cost any more than just because it happened.
It doesn't cost more. They charge in double. It's a chutzpah. Who can they charge? Double.
What is the reason they charge double?
Out of town. We don't feel it's our obligation to deal really with people who are from not our town. Therefore, we're dealing with people from our town.
That's what I'm saying. That dealing with people from our town, so we have a lower price. So we're going to give them a lower price.
Not lower price. We don't really need to deal with it at all.
We have a lot of when someone comes who's got the yotzei, who's got to get an aliyah, and that town has more right than the person who's there because he has nowhere else to go.
Yeah, that's different. But here, you're not taking away from other people's rights by being buried.
I know, so I don't understand.
Okay. So the problem is that usually, by being overpriced, if it's more than a sixth overpriced, you get your money back. Yeah? You have to think about, for next week, how do we define the price? In what way do we, which figure do we choose to measure the sixth by? Yeah? And that's one issue you have to think about till next week. And another issue you have to think about, is it applicable at all in services, the concept of overpricing? Or is it only by sale contracts? There's two things here. Let's just finish with Amaisa Shahoya Kahoya from Rokiba Iga. Nogea to this case. And he says like this, they had a case where there was this person who was a bit of a rosha who always lent his money with ribbis. Always lent his money with ribbis.
How much of a rosha was he?
He lent his money with ribbis. About hetzeskin. All that ribbis.
Was he Chal Shabbos with Mercy?
No, he was with red
ribbis.
Yeah. And when he eventually died, the relative said, okay, we're going to bury him. And the Chevrotisha said, we'll refuse to bury you unless you pay 10 times the value, the price of burying. The normal price. If you give us 10 times, then fine. But we're not going to bury you because your father was a Rosh. He always led people with ribbons. We're not interested in burying. If you want us to bury, you have to pay 10 times the value. So they went to, not Dayston, they went to the Beis Mishpat, the Goyish courts, the secular courts. Yeah, took the Chevra Kaddish to the secular courts.
Of course.
So the secular judge said, didn't know what we need to do. So he said, have you got any, I need a rabbinic advice over here. So they called in Rav Kiva Eger to give his opinion. So Rav Kiva Eger stood in the secular courts and he said like this. You know, normally the price is 10 times cheaper, ain't nothing. But you have to understand over here. The normal people, they're just going to be buried there, and eventually, it's not a permanent thing, they're going to have to chias amesim, they're going to get out of the kever. So it's only a temporary time they're going to be there. But in halacha it says, somebody has lent money in ribbis, it's not zocha to chias amesim. So Mamela, he's going to be there permanently. So that is the price which he's supposed to be paying. The secular judge was a couple of the signer and said in order to be buried he has to pay 10 times. Okay, see you next week.